This is Get a Real Job, the podcast devoted to people who choose risk over safe bets, who pursue their passion against all odds and are doing what they want, how they want, despite people and sometimes the voices in their own heads telling them they're nuts.
When the field that I wanted to work in didn't exist, I created it.
The only thing you have to decide is how hard do you want to work.
I really never went into the design of the restaurant of not succeeding. One way or another, I was going to succeed.
I'm your host, Dan Bova, editorial director of Entrepreneur.com. Thanks for listening. And now, get a real job. If you've ever seen someone do something incredibly stupid or dangerous on TV, there's a good chance you have today's guest to thank. Rob Dyrdek has produced some of the craziest shows ever shown on TV, ridiculousness being the crown jewel. The TV producer and branding extraordinaire has gone on to found Dyrdek Machine, a venture outfit that co-founds companies by fusing art, science, and according to the website, magic, which sounds pretty awesome. So we're going to talk to him. We're going to find out what he looks for in collaborators and maybe how to capture that perfect nut shot on camera. Welcome, Rob.
Oh, thank you so much. What a great intro. The range that I have.
You've done many, many things in your fabled career and have provided many a laugh to all of us. So we thank you. Yeah. So the Dyrdek Machine, this sounds pretty awesome. Fusing art, science, and magic. What do you mean by that exactly?
Well, you know, really we're a venture creation studio, right? So we build companies at the idea stage. You know, my personal mastery is the curation of entrepreneurs and ideas and shaping them into successful, thriving businesses that ultimately create a return for the capital that I personally invest, hence the venture capital side. But we say systematically fusing art, science, and magic because there's this, you know, extraordinarily creative and artistic aspect of building a business on all aspects, you know, from discovering the opportunity and then designing the brand and product and turning it into, you know, a viable idea. But then there's the science, you know, the fundamentals of business, these things that have to happen in order to find success in business. You know, sort of the economics, the market size, like the trends in the market, you know, the margins, all of the technical business stuff. And then the magic now. The magic's when you get lucky, that unexplainable, like you just can't put it into words. The right person at the right time has the product and all of a sudden it explodes overnight. You pivot into a product that you're not sure is going to work and then boom, it explodes overnight. Like for businesses to truly find success, there's always some element of the unexplained that takes it to the next level.
So that's pretty awesome. And you've got, you know, listeners who, listening to this right now, they've got ideas, they got dreams, they got something. Maybe they started, maybe it's just a ghost of an idea that's floating around in their brain. So how do you just said sometimes it's luck, but what are you looking for when people come to you and pitch their idea to you? What are some of those things that make you sit up and go, yes, I want to hear more about that?
Well, number one, I seek out experienced founders, right? Like, I'm really looking for founder market fit. Like, I really want someone that has some depth and understanding of the industry that they want to build a concept into. And then I really want to understand how that experience and expertise has pointed them in a direction where there is some form of white space, right? Whether that's, you know, through marketing, through IP, through some positioning of the product, some new feature to the product, whatever it may be, I'm really trying to, like, look at what unique value proposition that this idea has that doesn't exist in the market. And then let me lay into sort of the overall market trends and market size to ultimately understand, like, is there a actual scalable opportunity if I'm building it, if we're going to build this for acquisition, Or is there a clear path to profitability, meaning high margin, clear target consumer, repetitive purchase rate, something that really creates a business that we could split a great dividend off of? Because at the end of the day, it's about, you know, can we split a dividend or can we have somebody acquire this business that leads to whether or not I'll do it?
So what are some of the last time that magic happened for you? Like what's one of the products or businesses, companies that you went in on, got up and running, co-founded, and are just psyched about the results?
You got to understand, I launched in the summer of 2016. I built 15 companies and sold 5 of them. You know, some amazing stories. You know, obviously I had a pretty unfair advantage in the television space, and we built and sold Super Jacket in 3 years. 100% the plan. Of course, you know, a lot of things kind of went our way. And one of the more magical things as part of that acquisition was, you know, we ended up also being able to sell Street League Skateboarding, another business that I had created as part of that deal. That was a little unexpected when we took it to market. And then there was sort of a resurgence of ridiculousness over these last few years that added to the value of that business. I built two sort of tech companies with a young entrepreneur that are green algae encapsulation technologies, that one sold for $160 million, the other merged with Cure Pharmaceuticals for nearly $150 million, never even made a product, just a really smart kid and his IP. Sold a travel software for service company that I got roped into, and then most recently just closed a $10 million round valued a little over $100 million for my plant-based snack food company, Outstanding Foods, and the Pig Out Pigless Pork Rind. And then really a couple of really great builds that I've launched this year in Luso Cloud. You know, real opportunity to take on Uggs and Crocs and Birkenstocks. Between them, $3.6 billion. We set out and built a comfort footwear brand that could align right next to them, and we think we can take a ton of market share from them by being the Apple to their Dell. And then launching MindRight this year, you know, this week of, you know, really seeing the opportunity of the collision between the better for you functional foods and what's happening in nootropics and adaptogens, and bang them right into Good Mood Superfood to capitalize on this new emerging market.
So a couple of things. You've got a couple of things going on.
I ran off a list there, Dan. Yeah. I'm moved on that one. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I guess a lot of questions about that list, but one of them is, you know, what are some of the common traits you find in the entrepreneurs that you're teaming up with and finding the success with? Are there common traits from one company to another that you can kind of really point to and say, this is kind of what makes someone have a better chance for success than maybe somebody else?
Yeah, and look, I start first with mindset. You know, I call it the do or dyer mindset. I consider myself a do or dyer. It's someone that has fortitude, grit, determination, and ambition, combined with a relentless work ethic and unwavering self-belief. Like, to me, that's sort of the essence of what it actually takes to navigate you know, building something from just the idea stage all the way through to an acquisition, you know, or the sustained product market fit and profitability. But, you know, for me, when I look at entrepreneurs, I'm looking for knowledge through the 7 core capabilities of business. You know, like the best CEOs have general knowledge in product, brand, owned media, marketing, sales, operations, and finance. And, you know, a lot of times when I was younger, I would build companies with people that were great product guys or great brand and media guys or a great marketing person. But really, you want to build companies with people that have a holistic 3-dimensional view of how to create a business in order to hire the right people. And ultimately, you've got to be strategic in all seven of those core capabilities to build a thriving, successful business.
So let's go back in time a little bit. How did you become who you are? Like, was this a master plan when you were a kid? Like, what did you want to become? Was it always an entrepreneur? I mean, you are probably one of the foremost like branding wizards who ever walked the earth. How did that all come about?
I was raised by entrepreneur wolves. You know, I called a skate shop when I was 11 years old and said, "Hey, will you let me skate your ramp for free if I get 10 people to pay to skate?" You know, and that just, and the person that I met, he was a 19-year-old entrepreneur who owned that shop, who thought it was funny that this 11-year-old would offer to try to bring people in to be able to skate for free. And he became sort of a mentor of mine. He was a serial entrepreneur. And then, you know, I started spending all the time at the skate shop, and then everybody around me started creating all these businesses. And even when I, you know, stopped going to high school and became a pro skateboarder at 16, I always was like, I'm a brand, and I would track my finances and started my, you know, first build of a company idea to consumer, concept to consumer, right when I moved to California when I was 17 years old, you know. So it was sort of in my blood and DNA, and sort of what I've done throughout my career of two sort of parallel lines of pro skateboarding that led to television, has sort of, you know, been this front of camera entertainment sort of athlete side. And then, you know, the through line on the other side is I've been using those platforms and that opportunity to build businesses since I was very young.
And since you've been young, I mean, and building these businesses, you know, was it like, okay, eventually I'm going to have to settle down and, you know, get a real job? Or was this thing just a snowball and you never looked back? Like, was there ever a part in the back of your head that was like your plan B if all this stuff suddenly dried up? Or were you just, you know, full steam ahead?
More coming up from our guests, but first, a word from our sponsor.
We all want to know that we have enough to get to where we want to go. For instance, you either have enough energy to run a marathon or you're on the side of the road wheezing. How about your startup? Does it have enough cloud computing power to win and handle the really big customers? You might think stable, enterprise-ready cloud infrastructure like Oracle is out of reach for your new company, but Oracle for Startups was made just for you. Oracle wants to help you land those big customers, so they're offering preferred pricing on enterprise cloud for startups, free cloud credits, and 70% off their cloud services. And you'll get close with other founders who have ideas like yours, so you can pick partners and build the next big thing. Oracle for Startups doesn't want you wheezing on the side of the road. They want you to have enough power to scale and land your dream customer. Visit oracle.com/go-to/real-job. That's oracle.com/go-to/real-job.
And we're back.
Yeah, you know, my plan B, C, D, E, and F were other deals, other opportunities, non-correlated revenue streams. You know, I just constantly kept, while, you know, I have one thing working really well, I was already working on the next thing, you know. And I think that's, you know, even though I'm talking, you know, I drive in a Bentley, own a $5 million house, and have made millions of dollars, my mom still would be like, just tell me you have enough money saved to go to college. And I'd be like, oh, yeah, okay, yes, if it'll make you feel better. If I needed to go to college right now, I could, in fact, go get a proper education, right? So I was still raised from that idea, you know, and the paranoia, you know, from my mother, even to this day, it's like, I just don't understand how you own so many houses. Are you sure you got enough? You know, it's like, it's, you know, it's still a part of her DNA of like, she still tries to like pull me all the way back down.
Right.
To, you know, still playing soccer in Ohio. You know? So, you know, for me, you know, even when you hear me speak about business, you probably didn't have any clue at the level of how I look at business or the depth of the amount of businesses mm-hmm. that I've built and the success I've had, because I've been doing all of this while I shoot a couple hundred television shows a year, right?
Yeah.
And I knew that I was building my resume and my story and essentially my legacy for the next 20 years, the same way that I knew what I was creating as I was learning television, as I transitioned from being a pro athlete into multiple television shows, right? So for me, I'm always never thinking about a real job.
Yeah, yeah.
Only thinking about like what's next, you know?
So all that begs the other question I was going to ask. You know, everyone wishes... if you ask anyone, what do you wish you had more of besides money? Time. Everyone wishes they had more time. And how do you manage your time? How do you keep so many fires going at once? Do you have like a system, or is the system in your head? How does that all work?
Well, you're actually speaking to probably the most optimized, efficient human being, alive, and no, none of it's in my head. I built a complete system, two of them. I call it the machine mindset, but I built an operating model for my life that's called the rhythm of existence. And this essentially has automated every single aspect of my life. So there's nothing that I put time or energy into that can't be systematized and automated by somebody else. Because even when I shoot 250 episodes of television this year, and it's so highly optimized and automated that I only spend a few hours a month to execute all of that, right? Like, it's not even that significant as it relates to my time or energy. But more importantly, I track what I do. I track every hour of every single day of my life, including giving it a code so that it populates into a dashboard, right? And then I design my life around being healthy, happy, and balanced, right? So I don't really believe in work-life balance. I believe if you want to live a balanced life, you create a balanced life. But I can show you the data for an entire year that shows how balanced based off of how I spent my time. And I sleep for 7 hours a night. I spend about 2 hours a day on my health, spend about 7 hours a day, seven and a half hours with my family and friends, and seven and a half hours working, almost clean through the entire year. Right. So wow. To me, I didn't, you know, what is success and happiness and fulfillment without balance and energy, right? So I don't allow anything to disrupt my energy. And I'm, you know, even I use qualitative data to get quantitative data to make adjustments, right? So for 5 years, every single day, I track how I feel 0 to 10 about my life, my health, and my work. And anytime those numbers are disrupted or lower, there's always sort of a note that I can make. And if something happens multiple times, then I know I need to clear that up or get rid of that or solve that, right? And that sort of almost quantitative self-awareness, as I would call it, allowed me to then, you know, clear out all of these sort of, you know, long-term things that kind of plague you that almost are invisible because they become habitual, a part of who you are.
Right.
But you combine that level of practice, then, you know, I tie that qualitative data to then the stuff that I have to do every day that keeps those numbers high, and that's get up at 5, brain train, meditate, get in the gym, eat clean, and don't drink, right? Those are sort of the things that I track. All of this now pumps into this extraordinary, beautiful dashboard that's like I've like gamified discipline and happiness that I get to look at year over year and every week and every month. I'm like, oh, look at my numbers. Look how like focused I am. You know what I mean? So it's allowed me to gamify even, you know, the habits that it takes and then really use that. How does it feel qualitative data to turn that into quantitative data to then reshape your life to ultimately live in this place of like extraordinary purpose, clarity, and happiness. You know?
That is incredible. And I will say I did not anticipate any part of that answer. So that's pretty amazing.
Look, hey, as you were like trying to get to like it, like, why do you got all the time? You're just looking for a little bit of time. I try to stay balanced and focused. No. I don't. Every last aspect of my existence has been designed and optimized, right? Just to live to where you can be as light as a feather and as free as possible and spend your time and energy doing what you love to do most. And then automate the stuff you don't and eliminate the things that don't. And even when it came to building something like the machine, there's nothing I love more in this world than creating a brand. But I don't want to go and operate it. That's why I connect with like-minded do-or-dyers, and then I help through the creation process and finance it and shape it and bring it, essentially birth it, so that then I can help them through all my experience have a more profitable, thriving, successful venture, because business is extraordinarily painful when it doesn't work.
Right.
But it's the most amazing thing when it does.
Yeah.
And to me, that's the gift that I can give my partners, is that depth of experience and, you know, things you don't even have to fail at because I've already failed at them 10 or 15 times before. You know?
So what are, I mean, this dashboard sounds pretty incredible. And what would you say to someone, like, what are some baby steps someone could take? You know, a lot of us feel like we're living somewhat chaotic lives, you know, without maybe having access to exactly what you described. Like, what are some ways people can at least start to put themselves on that path?
You know, I think, you know, obviously eating right, meditating, getting in the gym, these are these fundamental things, right, that are super hard to be consistent at. But I think a lot of the things that block someone's ability to even be consistent and turn those healthy habits into habits is you just have too much kind of stuck inside you of so many different experiences and things that, and people around you, that it's really hard to identify what are even the things that bum you out or bring you down or bring, like, it's hard to see them all because there's so many. And I really think if you just got up each day and judged the previous day, just how do I feel about my life 0 to 10, and 5 would be neutral. And anything above 5 is hopeful and positive. Anything below 5 is half empty, right? And when you're half empty, you literally could pick apart anything. You could just be like, why do I even live here? Like, I should have moved to Florida. Like,
right,
you, like,
right,
why,
right.
Like, this couch is so dumb, right? Like,
yeah.
It becomes really binary. Like, when you're actually empty, you, like, you pick apart everything. And to me, if you, just when you feel that way, just about life, and then just mark what are the couple of things that got you there, something that simple of just overall in general, you will discover that it's the same 4 or 5 things that get you there every time. Then it becomes so much more clear what you need to actually clean up or change in your life to avoid pulling you back down below 5, you know. And,
yeah.
And it's a super simple thing. I don't know where I even ultimately discovered it, but I just, when I finally realized that I looked at life as either neutral, half empty, or half full, it really was this sort of awakening that allowed me to use just simply tracking 0 to 10. Now, I did do it still to this day. I've done it for 5 years of just life, work, and health. I split them up. But even just doing it about your overall life, I think there's a ton of self-discovery that you could find.
Well, that is pretty incredible. And I've heard people that have, you know, their productivity, you know, I do this, I make a calendar, blah, 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 but never to the level that you just described. And it makes absolute perfect sense. So you've got me, I guess, at an 8 there. So that's pretty good. That's pretty awesome. Well, so what should people listening to this be looking for? How can they learn about the next, you know, big things that you're bringing out into the world?
I mean, look, you know, I'm still DeerdickMachine.com and Rob Deerdick on all the social channels. You know, still shooting TV, creating companies, being a great father and husband above all, and just, you know, being blessed by just living a happy life. But it just lives on social media, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, awesome, man. It's been really, really awesome talking to you. As I said before, you create some of the most entertaining things to ever be on a TV screen or video, camera screen or whatever, phone screen. But and such great advice here. I hope people are listening. I'm shocked. You're making me rethink my whole life now.
Hey, let me say this. It is your, this level that I have too. I really discovered it when I finally decided that I would stop waiting for like success to make the life that I wanted. And I stopped and determined exactly what life I wanted. Then I designed a path to get it. And this is what it sounds like when you actually reach it, right? It's a phenomenal, phenomenal feeling. And I really started that much later in life. You know, I didn't discover that till I was 38 years old. So it's never too late to build a holistic life plan and go live the life that you want via the way you designed it.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Really, really amazing stuff. Hope to talk to you again and can't wait to see what you've got coming up for the world next.
That's our episode, folks. Hope you enjoyed it. Get a Real Job comes out every Tuesday, so be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you harvest your favorite podcasts. Leave us a review. Give us a share. Don't make me beg people. Go to entrepreneur.com for new episodes of this and to listen to our other great podcasts. Thanks.